into the right hash mark, being pressured from behind by Justin Smith. They've got him! Justin Smith sacks him inside the 10.
Hi, this is Justin Smith. You're listening to 49ers Radio, the official podcast of the San Francisco 49ers.
What's up, everybody? It's 49ers Radio podcast time. I know you guys have it circled on your calendar because it comes out so regularly. Just kidding. No, when we have time, a break in the action like we do today, we like to round up the fellas and talk a little football for you on your Apple iTunes device. You got to check us out, 49ers Radio, as well as on 49ers.com. You can hear from us. So I am Taylor Price, the senior reporter of the San Francisco 49ers, and we have two co-hosts for this one with me. We have Andrew Pentis, our associate digital editor. He's all things Levi's Stadium and does a great job covering the San Francisco 49ers for us. And of course, Eric Stark in the house. We have Eric Stark, our digital content guru. I don't even know your formal title. Is that rude of me?
It's not rude of you, no. I don't have a formal title, actually.
All right, so he's the jack of all trades on this thing. And Eric was so nice of us, or kind, to join us for this podcast. We're going to talk some training camp storylines, what we learned from the Baltimore Harb Camp experience, and we'll get you ready for Sunday. It's a big game. It's the 49ers against the Peyton Mannings. The Denver Broncos, I mean. It'll be a great game at Levi's Stadium. You guys sent me some Twitter questions, at TaylorPrice49. Plug right there. Appreciate you guys coming through with the questions. So we have a lot of topics to get to from you guys. But first, let's talk about Baltimore. You know, the preseason opener, 23-3. The game did not go in our way, but that was without Justin Smith, Ray McDonald, Michael Crabtree, Brandon Lloyd, Patrick Willis, Alden Smith, Frank Gore. You get the point. So a lot to learn from the young guys that got to play in that game. So let's just start with that game itself. Andrew, you talked about it in your game story, and I wrote about Carlos Hyde and some of the things he did. Just what jumped out to you from the game, and then let's go to the practices after that.
Cool, yeah. As you said, it was a disappointing result with the 20-point defeat. I don't think the coaching staff probably appreciated that result, but they were more focused on how those young players were playing in their debut, as you said. I think we were all watching Jimmy Ward, of course.
Yeah.
As you mentioned, I think he was the first DB off the bench to play in that nickel role, and then he was playing a little safety at the back end of the game. So his progress, it's hard to tell when you don't know the X's and O's of what that nickel cornerback is doing, but I think Vic Fangio sort of explained it a little bit. If he's got to play a lot of different roles in that singular role of looking out for receivers and then supporting in the run game, because he will be close to the line of scrimmage.
And playing some special teams. You know, you're going to put that first-round draft pick to work. He's not just going to sit there on the sideline. That's a nice toy you want to put out there. You want to take him for a spin. So Jimmy Ward got a lot of action, you're right.
He was the first gunner, right, on the left side, yeah, on the punt team and kickoff team as well. So I think we're all excited to see what he does versus Denver. You had mentioned that matchup with Wes Welker. I think we're all looking forward to that.
The Jimmy, another step in the chronicles of Jimmy Ward as a 49ers defensive back. Another guy worth pointing out is Carlos Hyde. He was sort of that highlight reel player for the first team offense. He's got the start for Frank Gore and went around the left side, had a nice run, finished the game with 39 rushing yards on 5 carries.
Got a 19-yarder in that first
19-yard was what I was getting at. So he looked good. He looked sharp, and you know, there's plenty more action to come for Carlos Hyde now that he's potentially going to be in the mix to be the number two running back. Liked what we saw from him and so many other young players. I mean, we could spend 30 minutes just talking about all those young guys. But let's sort of transition that game experience to the practices. 3 joint practices with the Baltimore Ravens at their training facility. And I've traveled with this team now for a handful of years and been to London, been to the Senior Bowl, the Super Bowl, the Combine, so many different football experiences. And I'm telling my friends, they're saying, what was it like? And, you know, it was a really unique thing to have these two, you know, Super Bowl contenders out there practicing. You had Joe Flacco going against Patrick Willis. You had Colin Kaepernick going against Terrell Suggs. I mean, that was, for a football fan, a football writer, it doesn't get much better than that.
Yeah, I think at first we all thought it was weird to be there.
Yeah, a little awkward.
To be in the building where the Super Bowl trophy is, to be in that giant indoor practice facility that they didn't use, but they had set up for locker rooms and such for the 49ers to use. I came away thinking, wow, that facility is beautiful. 2004, 2006, I think, in that range is when it was built. And they have three practice fields, the 49ers and the Ravens. We saw pretty much run practices very similarly as you would expect with the Harbaugh brothers. The highlight for me was getting to see live tackling at the goal line between the number two units of each team. You saw some of that ferocity that you don't get to see in these summer months. So that was what stuck out.
Yeah, definitely. They were thumping in there. There were some good hits, and those type of plays were when the entire field, everybody was watching those one drill happening. That was pretty rare because there was so much going on in these practices. But that was when it really sort of heightened the intensity. And one play that really stood out in that camp was Dante Johnson, the rookie draft pick, having a pick six on Joe Flacco in front of both teams. That was, you know, that's the way you want to sort of make a case for your roster spot, is to have a standout play when everybody's watching. It sort of sets the tempo for your peers. But I remember writing down on my notepad, where do I look? Because on one field, you had one-on-one pass-blocking drills between the offense and the Ravens' defense, vice versa with their offense trying to block our defense. This was on one field. Then you had 7-on-7 on one field and 7-on-7 on another field. So I had to look at Flacco against our, you know, competitions in the secondary. Do I see Colin Kaepernick going to his new passing targets? I mean, I needed two sets of eyes, and thankfully you were there to help. So we were sort of able to cover all the grounds in these practices. But I want to get Stark back in here, because I know he's over there typing away on his computer right now. But we mic'd up Jim Harbaugh, and John Harbaugh was mic'd for the Ravens. So that was a really unique, you know, aspect to these practices. And I remember we posted it on the site, and Eric, you were a fan of the miking. So tell us just your take on the miking, and, you know, maybe what you learned from the experience of hearing Jim mic'd up against the Ravens.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of these mic'ings in my 1 year here. Probably my favorite mic'ing of the bunch so far. I thought it had about 5 or 6 gold nuggets in there, including Harbaugh talking to Steve Smith on the sideline. And the first thing about that interaction that was intriguing to me was Harbaugh walks up to Steve Smith, Jim Harbaugh, and introduces himself. He goes, "Hi, Jim Harbaugh." And Steve Smith kind of laughingly goes, "I know who you are." And it just kind of shows. And I've heard other stories like that of Harbaugh in the past, where clearly he's a recognizable figure and people know him, but he's always humble enough to introduce himself. And then they went on talking about how Jim used to throw to Steve Smith and Carolina as on the scout team. So that was just one of many, many really interesting things in that miking that is definitely worth checking out.
Yeah, plenty of golden nuggets. You can find it on 49ers.com. Mic'd up Jim Harbaugh. Just do a little search, you'll find it. And we also have Anquan Boldin mic'd up at the practices. So you got to check that one out coming up. That's going to be some good stuff. A lot of mic'ings. We had Joe Looney at the game, Tony Gerard Eddy at the game. You got to see some of that trench play in the preseason. Very exciting stuff. You got to check out our Mic'd Up series. I know Michael Blevins will be excited if you watch his work. So that was a lot to talk about. We had a great time out there in Baltimore. Tremendous facility, you know, soft serve ice cream in the cafeteria. That was a big hit as well. We learned a lot about this football team. You know, you saw the Stevie Johnson step up and really have a great camp. You know, he's had a great camp, but he's had a great week out there in Baltimore. So let's sort of segue to some of these questions you guys sent with the hashtag 49ers Radio. If you see this episode and you listen to it, because it's a podcast, if you listen to this episode and you want to get involved, send us a hashtag tweet, #49ersRadio, to myself, @EricStark89, @AndrewPentis. We will be sure to bookmark it, favorite it, and use it next week. So Anthony Richard, @TonyJ928, he asked this question: how much of a real chance do you think rookie linebacker Aaron Lynch has to be a breakout linebacker this year based off how he's looking so far? Well, Anthony, I can just say right now, we know that he has the size and the talent to be a top-flight pass rusher. He was working back to the field, was not active to start camp, but he was activated and now we're getting a sense of his physicality. He was definitely going hard in those Baltimore practices. And Andrew, I know you caught up with the rookie draft pick out of South Florida to find out where that tenacity comes from.
Yeah, Aaron had spoken to reporters earlier on Wednesday, and he was asked where that came from, and he just said, my granddaddy. And that sort of sparked my reporter's curiosity. So I caught up with him after practice, and he told me about John Rocky Lynch, who was basically his father figure growing up in Florida. He said he taught him how to box, but he also taught him how to be a man. So I think that's where that comes from, his mentality of just being a tough guy. We see it in practice where he's pushing guys back. We saw it in Baltimore where he was pushing Ravens offensive lineman back. We haven't seen it in a game yet. He's likely to make his preseason debut on Sunday versus the Broncos. I definitely think he's a player to watch. I know, Taylor, you got to speak with Willie Taggart, his coach at South Florida, who Aaron said has similar qualities to Jim Harbaugh. Obviously, Jim and Willie are close. What stuck out to you about what Willie said about Aaron's potential to be an NFL stud?
Well, the size is one thing. He's 6'5", pushing 275 right now, eating the steaks around the facility, as he told the reporters. But size is one thing, but it's also the want to. And then Taggart, who was best friends with Jim Harbaugh, they were best mans at each other's weddings, said that Lynch sort of takes to coaching and veteran leadership. And so he was really excited for him to join the 49ers and be around Alden Smith, Ahmad Brooks, Justin Smith, Ray McDonald, the list goes on, the workers on that defensive front seven. So that was a big plus. Lynch got in the right fit for the NFL. And the other thing that I was caught by was this one anecdote where Aaron Lynch, when he got to USF, he transferred from Notre Dame, had a big afro, and he was very recognizable from Taggart. The coaches all knew where Lynch was in the meetings, and he mentioned to him, he said, hey, you might get a hair faster, pun intended. You might get a little bit faster if you sort of take down the hair and sort of, focus on that and sort of be more professional in that way. So what happens when he comes back for spring ball? Aaron Lynch couldn't be seen in the meeting rooms. Taggart was looking for him. He was looking for the afro, and he couldn't find it. And he had to say, hey, where's Aaron Lynch? And Lynch put his hand up, and he had a new clean-cut haircut. And so that just spoke to Aaron Lynch being serious about his craft and listening to coaching. And, it was one little minor thing, but just a nice little anecdote for Aaron Lynch to sort of follow that route down here at the 49ers. It looks like he's fallen in line. So excited about him. He played special teams against the Ravens. Let's see him rush the passer. He might get after Brock Osweiler, the former ASU quarterback that we know very well, being Sun Devils. All right, next question. Justin Grover at JGrover1533. Do you think we see Marcus Lattimore play this season? What do you think, Stark? I just put you on the spot with the hardest question we could go with.
The running back everybody wants to know about. Do you think he plays?
Do I think Marcus Lattimore plays this season? I do think Marcus Lattimore plays this season.
Ooh.
And I do think that it will come after the bye week.
Okay.
Yes.
Which is
week eight of the season.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
So late October, we might see a Marcus Lattimore handoff here and there.
All right. We got a bold prediction. And to really echo what the coaches have said, it's a physical, mental hurdle right now. Lattimore is overcoming or battling back from a major knee injury in college. He got to practice a little bit last year, was in OTAs and minicamp, so we'll see if he gets cleared and can join us in the preseason. It's sort of one of these wait and see things that we have to just respect the doctors and respect the process, and hopefully we get to see Marcus Lattimore soon, because as Jim Harbaugh said, he will have a place on the 49ers this season, whether it's on a non-football PUP list, or if it's on the active roster. We're going to have to wait and see that one. So, next question, at MelHex1, great Twitter name, has Jim Harbaugh done the Ice Bucket Challenge Pete Carroll called him out? We all know he hasn't done it yet, but tomorrow.
You probably saw Trent Baalke, our general manager, did it yesterday with the help of Alden Smith. Trent responded to the challenge from the Chiefs general manager, John Dorsey, and he has now challenged the Cowboys executive, Stephen Jones. obviously we're looking forward to seeing if Harbaugh would do it. He's taking the podium tomorrow afternoon, 2 o'clock, before the 5 o'clock practice at Levi's Stadium.
49ers.com/live.
There you go.
Stark just gave me a head nod.
So I think people want to see Harbaugh do it, and they want to see Harbaugh do it in his patented slacks, black sweater, black ball cap. And then the question becomes, who would be the person to dump ice on him?
Yeah, that's a great call. And the fleece, you know, you won't even feel it. It'll
that's
just
a waterproof fleece.
It's a waterproof fleece. It'll just roll right off the back.
Right off that thing.
It's a drag-free zone.
It's a drag-free fleece. So all for a good cause, the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge, really doing a great job of being around the NFL and sort of making that trend, sort of building that awareness. Whoever came up with that, I think it might have been O.J. Bergantz with the Ravens, near and dear to that franchise. So really cool to see that circulate around the NFL. So it's Jim Harbaugh Ice Bucket Challenge. Stay tuned for that. We're going to do our best to sort of raise awareness there. And I think one of these beat writers will bring it up to Jim. I have a good feeling about that. Moving on, Jorge Sierra, at JJ Sierra. If you had a chance to get hit by one of the defensive players, who would it be? Stark, again, tough question. You take that one first.
Oh, man. I'd go all out and just say Navarro Bowman at his healthiest. I think he bounced right off me, and I'd just keep running the ball. So
yeah, watch out, Navarro. Eric Stark.
I'm going to give Taylor a second to think about his choice. I respect your choice of going for, like, the hardest hitter or one of the hardest hitters on the team. I would go with a cornerback, but I would not choose Tremaine Brock because he's the most violent cornerback I've seen on the field.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna go Chris Culver because I think he's great in coverage and he's a good tackler, but I also don't want to be killed in the process of this tackle.
Mm.
So I'm gonna go Cully.
Safe answer. Okay, the one I'm gonna
Cully's
take.
Looking for you now.
Yeah, the one I'm gonna the call out or say I'd like to get hit by, Justin Smith. If you can live to survive in a physical encounter with Justin Smith,
can
that's
you
just,
though?
That's the question. I'm hopeful that I can. So that is a notch on the belt. That would be on my Wikipedia page. That would be in my Twitter bio. It would be on my resume. And I would have the battle scars and a bad limp from that encounter. But I'm just going to, you know, be a man and say Justin Smith. So great question, Jorge. We had fun with that one. All right. We're going to wrap up these next four or five real quick here because we know you guys have a busy work day and you're having too much fun listening to us. Hashtag beat the Broncos. That's a great Twitter name. He wants to know. I can't read. At K Breed Kroots 49. Apologies for mispronouncing it. Could we do something at Levi's Stadium to test how loud it'll be? Do we have an estimate on how many people will be there? Well, I'm going to hand this one over to our Levi's Stadium expert, Andrew.
So the estimate on how many people will be there is the easier part of your question. It's a sold-out game. There's close to 70,000 seats. There's 1,500 standing room only tickets. So the amount of people that will be there will not be the issue. The way to test how loud it will be, I hope you're going to be there, Jorge. And if this isn't Jorge, whose question is this?
it's Pound Beat the Broncos.
Pound Beat the Broncos.
This might be Jorge, though. We don't know.
Pound Beat the Broncos, based on your Twitter name, I assume you're going to be in attendance, and I hope you're going to be in attendance. The way to test how loud it's going to be is just getting up off your feet and being loud. I can only say that the theory around the ballpark is that sound will bounce off the suite tower on the west side of the stadium and then back toward the field.
Well, Andrew, you were on the field for the soccer game at Levi's, and didn't you say, even though it was only the lower bowl, that it was surprisingly loud, even with half the stadium filled?
Yeah, I think there were about 48,000 people there that night, and I was very surprised and very encouraged by how loud it was. So that was for football. We'll see how loud it can be for football. I think we can all agree that it will be louder. How loud, I don't know, but I hope you will be there. Hashtag beat the Broncos.
Hashtag come to play. Next Levi's Stadium question from at Neil Wilson Voice. I still need to know how to pack my trips to at Levi's Stadium. How should we dress for night games and day games?
Okay, so the quick answer here is you're going to want to bring your clear NFL-approved plastic bag. so that when you're coming through the turnstiles, they can check it easily. How to pack. We were just talking about this before we pressed record on the podcast. We do not expect it to be as frigid once we get later in the season as it was at Candlestick Park. So if you come to Sunday's game, I expect it to be warm. So I don't think you're going to need too much in the way of outerwear. But if you do, stop at the team store.
You're a good company man. I was hoping you plugged that. Yeah. Good company man.
Honestly, the team store is pretty awesome. It's 15,000 square feet. Over 20 points of sales, you're not going to be waiting in lines, and lots of cool gear, including with Ben Mayberry's inaugural season logo. So if you need a sweatshirt, just grab one.
Andrew, I hate to break this to you, but the executives aren't listening to the podcast, so you're not about to get a promotion.
Shoot. But no, he's right. You can go to the team store, buy some new gear. There's Levi's Stadium, Levi's 49ers co-branded gear to check out, so there's a lot of great stuff. Get there early, you know, really soak it in. Check out all the things that you can see around Levi's Stadium. It's going to be awesome. So two more questions, and then we'll put it into this 49ers radio podcast. At Bodewell wants to know this one, which is a good question about football. So how many wide receivers will be on the active roster at the start of the year since we are stacked at that position? Well, there's no way to answer that right now because we don't really know what Brandon Lloyd can offer to the team. We haven't seen him in the preseason. He was back at practice on Wednesday, caught some passes in team periods, but didn't finish the practice. He is sort of the wild card in this equation. He doesn't really play special teams. He's a veteran receiver, but curious to see if he can get in the mix in these preseason games and really latch on to one of those final roster spots, because Brandon Lloyd can get open. He can run routes. Can he stay healthy? That's sort of the question that we're looking at with him right now. Michael Crabtree, Anquan Boldin, Stevie Johnson, those guys are locks. Then you have Bruce Ellington coming on as a kick returner. Does he add value on special teams? Quentin Patton playing a gunner on special teams. What kind of value does he bring? These are the type of questions when you want to have so many great players, but what type of spots can they help your team in other areas? So all these different last-minute or position questions, do you have 7? Do you have 8? Do you have 6? For all these different groups, it really comes down to who has special teams value. So those are the things you really got to think of. And the last question, I will just throw this out to the group because this is a good water cooler discussion that I think we've been talking about for 7 to 8 months ever since the last year wrapped up. Is Colin Kaepernick set for a breakout year with the new weapons? And that comes to us from @JasonKeeling2. So Stark, is Colin Kaepernick going to ball out and have the best year ever in 2014?
I think yes. I think he will have an amazing season this upcoming season. I think the pressure of trying to find out where he stands and really last season was the first time the reins were handed to him from training camp. And he still didn't know. He still felt like he had to prove himself. I think the organization has shown that he's their guy and he's looked loose, relaxed at training camp and he's going to run with it literally and figuratively. And I think with his new weapons and Michael Crabtree healthy from day one, this is really going to be a big year. And also the simplifying of the offenses, I think you wrote about, Andrew, is going to really free him up to do a lot more things.
Well said. I would just add that I don't know if the question is right, if it's breakout, because I feel like he's already established himself.
True.
He has established himself as one of the NFL's top quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And he had that great season last year, so I don't know how much more he could do to impress us.
Mm-hmm.
I don't disagree with you, I'm just not sure about the question.
Jason. Jason. No, the truth, just to wrap this thing up, Kaepernick looks good, he's got the big arm, he's got weapons, he's excited about it, but don't sleep on the inconvenient truth, Frank Gore. And Frank Gore gets better with age. He is like the finest of fine wines that you can have out there. And that is not too much hype out there. Frank Gore looks good at these practices. He's fresh, he's spry, he's bursting through the line. Looks like the Frank Gore we know and love. So Frank Gore is still going to be a big part of this offense. We have a great offensive line. You want to feature that offensive line and let them do what they do best, and that's maul people up front. So Kaepernick, looking forward to see what he does with Crabtree and Boldin and Vernon Davis and Stevie Johnson and, you know, the other receivers who makes the roster. So excited about all that. But don't forget about Frank Gore and this running attack. Carlos Hyde, we talked about him at the start of this this marathon show. He is very exciting, so he's probably going to get some attention in the regular season as well. So thank you guys for checking this podcast out. You got to download them on iTunes. Make sure you look for 49ers Radio. You can also find 49ers Radio podcasts on 49ers.com. I am Taylor Price, joined for one last time by Eric Stark and Andrew Pentis, and we will see you guys all at Levi's Stadium this Sunday.